Both readings today are from Luke. The first reading is from chapter 1. This is the song of Zechariah after his son was born, John the Baptizer. These are the first words that Zechariah sings, say, once he has seen his newborn baby. Remember, Zach was silent, mute, unable to speak during Elizabeth's pregnancy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The second reading is also Luke chapter 3. This is John preparing the way for Christ to come as he baptizes in repentance of sin and for forgiveness. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Etruria, and Trachonitis, and, sounds like diseases, was saying his tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John from the son of Zechariah in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight. That's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The second week of Advent, as we talked about hope last week and the ultimate hope that we have in Christ. That ultimate hope is the hope that can sustain us through all of those prayers that we lifted up this morning. And today is about love. And yet we're going to talk about repentance. So that seems a little off, doesn't it? But remember, we're not at Christmas yet. And so when Joni was reading from Malachi, she's reading from the Old Testament. It is the very last book in the big Old Testament. And it's Malachi. And the people are no longer in captivity. They have been released and they're back in their homeland from Persia. So they're back in their homeland in that region of Judea and Jerusalem. They're building the temple again. They're rebuilding it. And they still feel the injustice of being an oppressed people. And so Malachi comes on the scene as God's spokesperson, and he says to the people, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And when I look up that phrase, prepare the way, I found another definition that we could also use here. Removing the obstacles from the path. Anybody here need some obstacles removed from your path so you can see God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? And that's what Malachi is doing. He's telling the people, behold, God will send a messenger, and he will remove those obstacles from the path. This messenger in Malachi is described, it's described as this, for he is like a refiner's fire and like a cleaner's soap. What the heck is a cleaner's soap? What's a refiner's fire? It's really in the Bible. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, basically the Levites, the priests, and refine them like gold and silver. So a refiner's fire was used to purify metal and refine it by melting it down and allowing all of the impurities, the dross, to come up, to bubble up to the top of the surface so it could easily be scooped up and out, making that metal pure. I mean, how many of you have a partial gold wedding ring or a partial silver? No, it's 100% gold, right? So the messenger in Malachi is being prophesied that he will come and he will prepare the way. He's like a refiner's fire. Do you know who the messenger is that the Malachi is referring to? John the Baptist is a common character in the Advent story, but sometimes it seems like we skip over the story of Zechariah. So Zechariah's story, he was a high priest whose wife was Elizabeth. Now, did you guys know, I didn't know this, that Elizabeth's father was a priest, so she's a PK. She's a preacher's kid. And that is who Zechariah is marrying. And Scripture tells us that they were both righteous before God, blameless, and yet at the same exact time, they were barren, and they had no child. There was a specific day where Zechariah was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to offer incense for the Lord. And while he went in, the rest of the priests remained outside of the temple to pray for him. And as he was offering up the incense, I'm sure you guys know the story, all of a sudden there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right-hand side of the altar. And what happens every time we read about an angel appearing? People are afraid. And the angel always says, don't be afraid. But did you notice that the angels always use their first name? When Zechariah saw, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at the birth of your son. The son that you will have will be great in the sight of the Lord. Your son will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents back to their children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And includes us. Now you think this would have been good news, right? For a priest who is blameless, who is devoted and faithful to God. You think that an angel that came to him and said, you know what, Zechariah? We heard your promise. And what you have been praying for, you're going to have a son. But how does Zechariah respond? Despite his priestly status, despite his deep faith, and despite his deep love of God, Zechariah responds to the angel's news in disbelief. Zechariah basically said, excuse me, Mr. Angel, it's really nice that you came to, you know, be with me, but do you see how old I am? I am an old man. I cannot have a child. And by the way, have you seen that my wife is getting up there in years? Now, that's kind of a nice way to say your wife is also old. So that's just a little note for you gentlemen. You know, we're not as old as you. We're just getting up there a little bit in years. So that is what Zechariah says to the angel. And the angel replied, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you do not believe my words, which still will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute. Unable to speak until the day these things occur. It is time to believe impossible things. It is time for us, not only during the season of Advent, but in our lives, to believe impossible things. And so Zechariah, he comes out of the temple. He can't speak, people know something has happened. And before you know it, his wife is pregnant, Elizabeth. Zechariah's son is born. So when the baby is born, the neighbors are saying that they should name this baby Zechariah Jr. Because that would be kind of common in that time. It's still common for us. And so Zechariah, who has been unable to speak for 9+, give or take, months, he finds a writing tablet. And what does he write on it? You guys know what he writes. There's a hint. I can't hear you. They're like, are we really supposed to talk out loud in church? Yes, you guys can talk out loud. His name is John. You know what that means? John's meaning means God is gracious. So at this point, he still hasn't spoken anything. And the neighbors see what he wrote on the tablet, and then they wonder, what then will this child be? And so the scripture that we read, that Steve read, the first part of Luke's gospel towards the end, is the song of Zechariah. Instead of speaking right away and telling them everything that happened, they already know, because here's this baby boy, and he breaks out in song. The first part of this Zechariah song, or Zechariah's hymn, is all the praise of God. He said, blessed be the Lord of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets from old, that we should be saved. He spoke as we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us, to show us mercy that he promised to our fathers, and he remembers his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to bring us and to be delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Can you imagine serving God without any fear? That's part of this song that Zechariah is saying out loud. To serve God without fear and holiness and righteousness in all of our days. And then the song turns from God, and now it's focused on this child that you know he has to be holding in his arms. Because God gave Zechariah a glimpse into who this child will be. He says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you, child, will go before the Lord and prepare his ways. You, child, will give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit from on high to give us light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. To guide our feet into the way of peace. So these are the first words that come out of the mouth of Zechariah after being silent for 9 months. Can you imagine, when was the last time that we heard somebody just break out in song because of what God has done in their life? He was unable to speak. The angel came to him and everything came true. He was given a son. His prayer was answered. His name is John, and this baby is an essential part of God's plan of salvation for everyone. The word of God speaks. These words that are captured in Luke's gospel by the mouth of Zechariah, they are fresh indications of his mercy. These words promise the impending movements of God's grace. What will this child be? How many of us remember looking at our own baby in our own arms, or perhaps a niece or a nephew or a grandbaby, and we look and we say, God, who do you think she's going to be? What do you think she's going to be like? We all have done that. There's like so much potential as we look at that little baby. John will be a prophet. John will prepare the way, removing those obstacles from the path of God for his people. And John will tell God's people, the people, about the power of forgiveness. It is time to believe impossible things. And it is also time for us to listen for a word beyond the voices of our own time. And so John the Baptist arrives on the scene. And we know him for always having the baptism of repentance, right? And so as we jump forward now in Luke's gospel still, but now we're in chapter 3 when John comes on the scene as a man. I want you to imagine these verses as a movie in which we see the known world, the center of which is Rome, and we are slowly zooming in as we're reading Luke's gospel. But it doesn't go where you expect it to go. Who does God choose? Who receives the word of God? And so the scripture says, in the fifth year of the reign of he doesn't get to receive the word of God. Maybe it's Pontius Pilate who's being the governor of Judea. Nope, he doesn't receive the word of God. Or maybe it's Herod, the ruler of Galilee. Nope. Maybe it's his brother Philip, who is a ruler of a different region. Nope, it's not him. Or what about the ruler of Abilene? Nope, it's not him either. What about the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas? No. The word of God was not given to any of those people. The word of God, as it is recorded in our scripture, in this story of Luke's gospel, it says the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, where? In the wilderness of all places. And he went into all of the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of Isaiah. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. He says, every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight and the rough places shall become level ways. And all humanity shall see the salvation of God. What I want to point out here is the word of God did not come to the powerful elite with their big old titles and their long, elaborate religious educations and their wealth. The word of God came to this man. Did you already have John up there? This is who God chose. You see, once again, in history, God chooses the most unlikely candidates and the most unlikely places. What God is doing through this nobody in the wilderness of the world will affect everything, even the emperor of that time. And this is the foreshadowing of what is to come. Think about Jesus later on has confrontations with Annas and Caiaphas and Herod and Pontius Pilate. God is intimately involved in the historical messiness of humanity and earth, albeit in completely unexpected ways. So how does John prepare the way for God's people? How does John help us as God's people remove the obstacles from our own path to God and to Christ? He says, repent. Repent. John's message is not the message of the kingdom of God is near. John's message is, hey, you need to change your way of thinking for forgiveness. Repentance can so many times too often be thought of as a one-time experience. Rather, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, he taught that ongoing repentance is typical and necessary for the growth of believers. You know, think of your marriage if you are a married person. You make a mistake because you will. And you say you're sorry, or your spouse says you're sorry. Is that good sorry for the rest of your married life? Is that one sorry, I'm sorry, good for 50 years? Nope. For the person who just got engaged this weekend and hasn't yet started this marriage, I'm sorry is a very healthy thing to say. Just saying, Garrett. So John's message is not a message the kingdom of God is near, but John's message is, hey, you need to change the way of thinking about forgiveness. As we grow closer to Christ, we recognize more of our faults. As we grow closer to Christ, we recognize more of our limitations. We recognize how tight sin has its hold and grip on us. And you know what else we notice? We notice how much more we need the grace of God to become what God is creating us to be. Responding to God through repentance is a mark of growth and a willingness to more fully rely on God's grace. Anybody here in the house could use a little more of God's grace in their life? I could. That helps with the balance thing, Harvey. Repentance is like a cleansing of our hearts. Repentance is like that cleansing of our hearts, or the refining of the dross of the impurities within our own soul. It makes me go back to Malachi in the Old Testament. As Malachi is pointing out, behold, the messenger of God will come and he's going to clear out the way, all those obstacles that are in your way to know God. And now we have Jesus on the scene, and here is John the Baptist doing a baptism of repentance and saying you must repent because he's clearing the way in our hearts and in our thinking and in the very soul of who we are. How might God be calling you to be refined by God's grace? How might God be calling you to prepare him room in your life? How may God be calling you to be refined by God's grace and to prepare the way for others to know Christ? Now, this picture here might look familiar to many of you. I know. If you don't know me, I've only been here for 6 months, and I come from the sunny world of Colorado. So when I keep looking out the window and I see that stuff, you know what I do? I squint. Where are the snowflakes? Because in Colorado, it burns off. This doesn't. I mean, you can Google Salt Lake City inversion and you get it. And I'm like, yes, that's it. And so now this metaphor may or may not work, so just work with me. This is what the definition says of what this inversion is. It says, during a temperature inversion, the warm air moving over the valleys along the Utah-Wasatch Front Valley traps cold air and pollutants beneath it, leading them to accumulate. This condition usually persists for a long time until a storm front moves through the region and breaks up the weather pattern and cleanses the air. It makes me think sometimes of what God is calling each and every single one of us to do with our hearts. You know, it may start out as just a little cloudy, a little clogged up, a little denial here and there, and then over time you can't see anything because of all the muck and the grime and the stuff that I'm not acknowledging. Now, if you want to use the analogy of the inversion and we pray for the wind, we pray for the weather to come through, all right, we'll use the Holy Spirit example because it is the Holy Spirit that convicts us of that sin. And then it is our responsibility to really, I don't care if you get on your knees or you stand or you just sit there and weep and we repent. Now, some of us, we don't like that. And this is what we tend to do with our life. We give God only. Next slide, the one that has two pictures. Nope. One back. Do you have a slide that has half clean and half not? Sometimes things disappear. All right, let's go back to the inversion. You guys know what I'm talking about. If you take a line and you go right down that picture, half of it is crystal clear and the other half is smeary. That's what we do sometimes in our own lives. We say, well, God, I'll give you this piece of me. I'll give you this little component over here. Instead of giving all of who we are, prepare him room. Now, God knows how beautiful we are, right? He can see through the muck and the grime. So why do we have to say, I'm sorry? Why do we have to go to God? And why do we have to go to others we have hurt? Sometimes that's for our own healing, to say it out loud, to acknowledge that we can't do it on our own. And when we look at these Advents, these are the gifts that God has for us. Unimaginable joy, an abundance of love, a peace that we can't even imagine, and the hope always sustaining us no matter what the situation it is. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. Prepare him room. Repentance means the realignment of one's life with what matters most. It is a breaking away from and a preparing for. It is the recognition of the mounting discontent in the pit of our souls. It is the awakening of anticipation at the storm before the calm. Sometimes we are good at just giving God parts of us. But this Advent season, I pray and I hope that we learn to prepare him room in all of who we are. God wants all of us. All of us. Our whole hearts and minds and body and soul. Prepare him room. When I think of Malachi, he's saying this, behold, I send the messenger, and we get understand that it is John the Baptist. And maybe today we understand a little bit more about why the baptism of repentance is so important. It's for two reasons of relationship from a theological perspective. That relationship with us vertically, up and down, to God. And in the horizontal relationship to one another. Because I have been in relationships where people are so mucked up that they don't even know that they're mucked up. And we need to be repentant people, a repentant church, to acknowledge our mistakes and to allow Christ to do the refining in our hearts and our souls so that we can give more. Amen. Amen.